All right, hour number two. Extra 1360 in the iHeartRadio app. We are live from Marty's living room today till 3 o'clock and the Loose Cannons. Marty said she's very distracted. She's off mic.
I'm not distracted because I'm used to this. I'm used to people walking around with their paddle boards and their coolers and their inflatables and no clothes. You are distracted. I'm used to this. This is every
It's okay day. To be distracted. It is just beautiful here. I mean, temperatures are in the 80s mm-hmm. here on January 15th. Mm-hmm.
This is a shorts and flip-flops day. It's perfect.
Shorts, that's what we're wearing. Yep. Shorts and flip-flops mm-hmm. here in the living room this afternoon. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Love everything about it. You flip on television, you see Green Bay, like 30 degrees there. Who could imagine living in such a
place? Who can really talk about Jared Goff throwing in freezing temps when we're here?
Right.
I just have no appreciation for
exactly. it. Exactly. Sit there, look out the window all day tomorrow as I'm sitting there watching a football game being played in Green Bay. All right, let's check in with Mark Medina. Mark Medina covers the NBA for USA Today. His most recent piece is an opinion piece. And I think the headline sort of says it all. Not a lot of intrigue here. Nets Kyrie Irving and James Harden won't be able to coexist. Let's get some details here. Mark Medina covers the NBA. He joins us on Exit 1360. Hello, Mark. It's Darren. Thank you for the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, the headline's fairly self-explanatory, but hopefully I put enough meat on the bone in the actual story to warrant reading.
Well, it reminded me of a conversation that we've had in the past, Mark, and one of the key members is the same, because I remember asking you whether or not you thought that Russell Westbrook and James Harden would be able to coexist and whether that would work in Houston. And before I even finished the question on the air, you're like, no, it's not going to work. It's not going to work at all. So is Harden a common denominator here, or is this completely different? Is there something about the Nets? Is there something about Kyrie Irving and James Harden, about Irving or about Harden? What is it that makes you think this isn't going to work?
Well, I think Harden's still a variable, but I think it's also Kyrie Irving. He plays a large factor into this. And what's interesting is when you recall what I told you about Westbrook, I was skeptical about it coming in, but honestly, I was pleasantly surprised. I think that their dynamic worked for the most part in terms of specifically on the court, ball handling, how they handled those roles. There may have been some tug and pull occasionally, but I think the larger issue that Westbrook had was Harden's work habits off the court and how he conducted himself in practice, and also just how Westbrook saw the organization just kind of allow this to happen. So I think that was the larger thing in play as opposed to on-the-court chemistry. But here with Harden and Kyrie Irving, I think it's all the above. You know, they're used to having the ball in their hands. They march to the beat of their own drum. They clearly haven't been taking the health and safety protocol seriously. They've both gotten fined, and it's just been ridiculous. And no matter what they say right now, which is all the cliches of their talent, you know, the Nets GM, Sean Marks, and Coach Steve Nash, they want to sacrifice. I'm waiting to see. You know, actions obviously speak louder than words. And I think what the really scary situation here is, I don't fault the Nets for making this trade. When you're in a championship window, you always go for broke. I think Steve Nash is going to be a great head coach because of his Hall of Fame credentials as a player. I think Kevin Durant can make this work. I think he can come back from his Achilles injury because of how skilled he is. But Kyrie and James Harden, their personality and how they are as players has been so bad the last few months that I don't see how on earth they're suddenly going to be changing their stripes with all this. So should be an interesting drama-filled time in Brooklyn.
Absolutely. I heard Michael Wilbon say it yesterday on ESPN. You can't trust Kyrie Irving or James Harden for more than a week. You know, and that's not just the combination. Either one of them is individuals, or either one of them, or the tandem of them. You can't trust these guys for more than a week, week and a half. But the way it ended in Houston to me, I know Shaq went off on this last night, but when you have Boogie Cousins and John Wall talking about how unprofessional you are, I just wonder what that means around the league. You know, there's a bunch of different ways that we could look at that, Mark, and people who cover the NBA know exactly what I mean by this question, including you. But when you get Boogie Cousins and John Wall like, yo, that dude just quit on us, you know, like it doesn't exactly make me, if I were a fan of the Nets, it doesn't make me go, yeah, okay, great. You know, their loss is our gain here.
Yeah, it's an interesting lens to look through, and it was a fair question that Steve Nash had to entertain on his Zoom call today. And the way he saw it was what it means for Brooklyn was somewhat irrelevant because he's looking at the overall body of work that Harden showed at Houston with how he carried that franchise to three appearances in the Western Conference Finals when they were there, and they were pretty close to beating Golden State in 2018. But I also look at it from how the Rockets feel, where if you're going to make a trade like that, there's a way to do it. And sometimes it can be ugly. That's how breakups are. But James Harden went above and beyond extra to really torch every bridge. It's totally understandable, honestly, why Harden wanted to leave Houston. I mean, there is a pattern here that happened since last season ended in the bubble where Mike D'Antoni leaves because he's skeptical of Tillman Fertitta and they weren't able to work on an extension the previous summer. Daryl Morey leaves. He says, hey, he wants to spend time with his family, but all of a sudden the Sixers hire him. Westbrook wants out because he doesn't like the direction of the franchise is going. So I don't blame Harden for wanting out. But once the season started, for him to not show up to training camp on time, to be going to clubs, especially during the pandemic, then to be breaking safety protocols during the season, to be having an attitude problem in practice, to showing mixed results on the floor in terms of your effort level, and then to say after that game, I don't know how we could fix this because of the talent that we have, all that stuff's inexcusable, and DeMarcus Cousins was 100% correct with calling him out. And kudos to him for calling a spade a spade.
No doubt. Mark Medina joining us on Extra 1360. You know, to that point, you know, how is that time remembered then? You know, Harden's an MVP winner. They had a lot of success. They go to the postseason. You know, yet today, you ask anybody in Houston, and, you know, the breakup was rather ugly. Your point about ownership there is very valid, obviously, and certainly those that follow the league understand that. But, you know, does this just, is there, like, how do you even think about the time that James Harden was a Houston Rocket now? You know, and given just the way it's ended here and the way it always ends season after season for that guy.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting nuance to it. I think what's indisputable, you know, James Harden's numbers are what they are. And where they got to in the playoffs was impressive, especially when you look at where the Rockets were before all this. And one thing that I always gave Daryl Morey credit for is during the time that the Warriors were just dominating the league, some teams had this feeling of, oh, let's just wait them out and it's inevitable they're going to win with all this all-star talent. And he said, no, like, let's go for broke and challenge them. And, you know, hence they got the Chris Paul deal, and they were very close toward beating Golden State. And now I know that there's varying sides of that of, you know, the Rockets will say, oh, if only Chris Paul didn't get hurt, but the Warriors will say, well, if only Andre Iguodala didn't get hurt, it would have been a much shorter series. But the bottom line is they did test them, but they always collapsed in the biggest games that mattered. And how this pertains to Harden, some of it had to do with the fact that a lot of the burden was on him before Chris Paul's arrival. That first season, Chris Paul getting hurt didn't help things. But there always seemed to be, okay, that doesn't excuse why you missed 27 threes in a row as a team in that Game 7. And that doesn't excuse why that pairing couldn't have been as great as it could have been. And so, you know, when James Harden has been doing all these things around the league and posting scoring records and doing all these amazing things, I know from covering the Warriors, a lot of them just kind of rolled their eyes and said, yeah, okay, we'll see what this means during the postseason. So now how this pertains to what it is in Brooklyn, this is his best chance to win an NBA championship. And if he doesn't, you know, any health injury issues aside, it's going to all point to their willingness or lack thereof of being able to play together as a team and sacrifice their roles. And I think Kevin Durant showed a track record of that. That's something that he didn't get enough credit for in Golden State, where it required him and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, Draymond Green to sacrifice a little bit of their game. And Kyrie Irving, I know that he won a title with LeBron, but it feels like he could have done a lot more, and there's no reason why you want to suddenly leave that franchise when you have LeBron on your team. So with that, a lot of the burden is going to fall on those two guys. And again, I'm skeptical on, regardless of what they say now, how it will end in a positive note.
Mark Medina covers the NBA for USA Today, and that's the name that I wanted to ask you about, because I'm sure you had a chance. I don't know if Kevin Durant keeps everybody at arm's distance, Mark, but being around it, you learn. You know, like you were around around Kevin Durant, you learn a lot about a guy. And, you know, he's not like the other guys. You know what I mean? Like, he's not. You know, he might be a little flaky. You know, Kyrie Irving is flaky, but he's also unreliable.
Yeah.
And James Harden is flaky, but he's you know, now proven to be unreliable and proven to be a guy who will go to great lengths to quit on a team in order to get what he wants. But, you know, Durant's different. And, you know, from that standpoint, I wonder, Kevin Durant, you know, he's playing with the Golden State Warriors. He understands the definition of NBA stability. I just wonder, do you think he really believes that this could work in Brooklyn, given who he's played with, given what he's done with Steph, with Clay, even though they had some differences there with Draymond? But I just want, like, does he really believe that this can work with these two guys the way he made it work and they made it work in Golden State?
Yeah, well, in fairness to Kevin, he hasn't spoken yet. You know, just the fact that he went to Brooklyn and teamed up with Kyrie, if he didn't think it was going to work, he wouldn't have signed up for this. And if he didn't think it would work, I don't think the Nets would have pulled the deal on this. I think that they are convinced that it's going to work. But the reality is, people can feel one way now, but all of a sudden, things actually play out in real time. So what really stuck out to me is Steve Nash is a pro at this. He was being asked all these appropriate questions that you're asking me, and he answered them diplomatically, but it was always attached with a lot of qualifiers, saying, yeah, like, I think, you know, all these guys have this, you know, attitude that they want to do this, and we can do a lot of special things if we make the sacrifices. We can be a really good team if everyone buys into the roles. And I know Steve Nash has a window into this, because I covered that Lakers season in 2012-13 when, you know, there were a lot of issues in play with that in that season. But not only was he trying to deal with a lot of injuries, but you had Dwight Howard deal with injury issues with Kobe shooting and Mike D'Antoni's system. And he had issues with how Kobe looked at Mike's system, as well as Powell. And Steve is this ultimate pro guy, and he's trying to make it all work. But because there's so many different competing agendas, and I think all parties at certain parts of the season were right and certain parts of the season were wrong. And even with a strong leader like Steve, like, there's only so much you can do. So I think he's very well aware of how, you know, delicate those dynamics can be.
Well, listen, I mean, if they win, good for them. I'm with you, though. I just don't get Durant. I just don't, you know, cause he's just so talented, and he seems to be level-headed at times. He's got his quirks. Who doesn't? But man, I just can't imagine marrying yourself to this after what you had and what you lived through in Golden State. Hey, what's going on with this league, Mark? Are we looking at any potential shutdown? I know it's been a bunch of games missed here and games postponed due to COVID here, but what's the sense you're getting from the league itself about where it finds itself here this second week of January?
Yeah, well, things are always so fluid because that's just how this past year has been. But as of now, the NBA hasn't entertain the idea of shutting things down. I mean, they released earlier this week that the league and the players union agreed to enhance and even more protocols, basically for at least the next 2 weeks. You know, coaches, players, staff members, they're all expected to basically quarantine at their home when they're home, in between practices and games, when they're on the road, at hotels, and not allowing any outside guests. So it's their hope that by tightening those things up, there's not going to be as many cases. But in 2 weeks from now, if we're going to continue to see this, I think it's fair to wonder, okay, should the NBA pivot? I think right now the best course of action is the NBA to try to tighten the protocols, as opposed to, hey, let's try to do a bubble or postpone the season. And the reason I say that is, if you're already going to pivot to the bubble, you know, as you know, there are already mental challenges with being away from family for that extended period of time. But if you're going to do that, all of a sudden, you're going to have to weigh cost. You're going to also have to weigh the more logistical concerns of, they're going to have to now have protocols of rounds of testing before they can even allow teams to go to that site, and then a ramp up for training camp, and then that's gonna, you know, an extended training camp before games start again. That's gonna, you know, seem complicated. And then as far as postponing the games, not only are you losing the revenue, but the most important thing is, you know, guys aren't going to be subject to these protocols anymore, so the cases could get even worse. And so I think temporarily this is the best course of action, but it's the best of bad options because of what we're at right now. So if things continue to go along these next few weeks, I think it is then fair to ask, okay, does the league need to shut it down or pivot to a temporary bubble? But I am convinced that these tightening of the protocols will work, and it won't be so dramatic where you're seeing games being postponed every day.
Mark, as always, outstanding stuff, a terrific appearance. We always love that Mark Medina chooses to dial into the show using a landline, something most people in this world don't even have any longer. Mark, we appreciate you. We thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
I appreciate you. And the reason I got the landline is when I'm on your show, I don't want there to be any drop calls or issues on my cell phone service. So you got it.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Mark Medina, USA Today Sports, covers the NBA. I just, yeah, listen, if it works, it works. What can you say? I know with Durant, who's the least of the problems there, and Kyrie Irving, who's been fined almost $1 million today, and James Harden, who forces his way out, who has some interesting characters saying, oh, yeah, dude, quit on it. He got trashed last night on Inside the NBA. Even Shaq, and Shaq came armed with all sorts of numbers and data, and you can't rely on these guys. You can't. You can't rely on these guys. I don't understand that with Durant. Birds of a feather, they can flock together. You want to tell me that somehow Harden and Kyrie Irving are going to find a way to make it happen and play together at some point? Okay. But what's Durant's deal in all this? What's the deal there? It's a mystery. I don't get it. Now, as far as it goes with the league itself, yeah, you know, the league, they got shorter rosters there. So, you know, their margin for error is a lot slimmer than it is for the NBA for baseball. Baseball, you know, they expanded rosters. They had a taxi squad. You know, so they had reserves. They had people who would fly around with them. They had alternate sites. You know, they had all sorts of players just at the ready here. In fact, if you had to move somebody out, you move somebody in. You had to move two guys out, you move two guys in. This is not the way it works. You know, there's no... that doesn't exist in the NBA like it does in football. You know, you don't have 50 guys. You don't have a practice squad. You don't have extra players. So, you know, once you get to a certain number, you know, four guys, like, you know, can't play. Just can't play. You know, four or five guys, most of these rosters are what, 12, 13 people. So, you know, you don't have a taxi squad. You don't have a bunch of players that are hooping it up over there at the local campus. This is what you got. And, you know, when it gets impacted, then that's why games are being postponed. So... I hope they don't have to pause, but maybe. I didn't get to Jim Russell's question. I told Jim I would ask a question about the Warriors, and my question was going to be the Warriors. What's the deal? What's the deal with them? Yeah, that was going to be the question.
That was just the question. Yeah. Was there more detail?
What is that?
Was there more?
What's going on there? Is that a playoff team? What's the story? They're 500. They're the 8th seed. Is this what they are? And what's the deal with Kelly Oubre?
Ugh.
Okay.
Bad.
Yeah, I feel like that's a way that we can, you know, that there are two versions of, let's say, Jordan Shackle, San Diego State.
Okay.
There's Steph Curry, and then some nights he's Kelly Oubre.
No.
So it seems like there's not a lot in between with Jordan Shackle. Some nights he looks like Steph, other nights he looks like Kelly Oubre. For those that follow the NBA, you know what that means. Right? I mean, sometimes the guy, career high, he can hit, he can't miss. He just bombs from anywhere. And then there's, you know, certain games. Like, is he the guy that's going to pick up the emotional torch of San Diego State basketball? Is that who it is? Oh, he's senior. But then there are nights like last night where he just seems to struggle. And one game to the next, you don't really know what you're going to get. Nah. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to do it. Still awaiting word on Matt Mitchell, who went down last night. Gosh, what a bummer. What a bummer. Hopefully, it's just a couple of weeks. Looked worse. Somebody compared it to Mike Evans. I think that was John Schaefer.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Who said, hopefully this is a Mike Evans type thing where you look at it again, you look at it in slow motion, and you go, oh, man, that's not good. But then he's able to get up, back, run again. Now, basketball is different than football for a variety of reasons, and college is different than the pros in many ways as well. So
it's been reported that he had his MRI this morning. He was at practice in shorts and a jersey, walking around without a limp and passively rebounding basketballs and drills. So.
Oh.
Okay, that's good.
That's promising.
So an MRI in Utah. They didn't ship him home.
No.
Good. Great.
Beet juice, carrot juice, whatever it takes.
Yeah, I mean, that had to be part of it. Not just physically losing Matt Mitchell, but like emotionally losing Matt Mitchell had to be a contributing factor in scoring 45 points on the road. Marty's Nuggets when we come back.